Activist group Right to Know campaign, which has been fighting against government surveillance, online censorship and cybersecurity in South Africa, is once again taking government to task after task about state surveillance. They used Freedom Day to hold pickets at the office of Inception Centres. It protested against the regulation of interception of communications and Communications-Related Information Act, RICA. On the line, we have Right to Know's Murray Hunter. Good morning and welcome to the program, Murray.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, evidence seems to indicate that investigative journalists, political activists and unions have been put under surveillance. Why targeting these groups specifically, Murray?
Well, I think that we have to recognize that communication surveillance in the 21st century has become more powerful than ever. We've seen that globally. This is not something South Africa is unique in. Mm-hmm. And in these cases, it's always possible, you know, to target people who are viewed as being troublemakers, people who are viewed as being irritation. And to use these capabilities to really to try and get behind someone's privacy in order to disrupt their activities. Now, I do want to say that in the case of the investigative journalists whose surveillance has been confirmed, there are two confirmed cases where journalists have had their phones tapped by someone in government, and the one is the Sunday Times and the other is the Mail and Guardian. In the case of the Sunday Times, it appears that it was the activities of a few rogue intelligence agency. It's not, it's not the government saying we're going to spy on this person. It's a faction within the intelligence agency that decides to tap their phone, which is one of the things that has concerned us about RICA and about surveillance. Is that the system, despite the safeguards that are in place, RICA says that if government wants to tap your phone, they need a judge to sign a warrant in order to tap your phone. But what we've seen is that those safeguards can really be got around. We've seen that the judge can sometimes sign a warrant without knowing entirely what's in there. We've seen that sometimes you can intercept someone's communication without getting a judge's warrant, and means that individuals within the state can abuse those capabilities for their own purposes. It also means, of course, that the state itself can do things that it possibly shouldn't do in terms of the constitutional right to privacy.
Now, where does RICA fit into all of this exactly?
Well, everyone knows RICA because, you know, we've all had to go register our SIM cards if you've done the thing that the law says that you're supposed to do. And so what RICA does is it links your identity to your SIM card. Now, what RICA does, which is probably good, is that it says that someone can only monitor your communications if they have the permission of a specific judge called the RICA judge. So that's a good thing. But one of the concerns that we have is that RICA is one of those laws that was passed, you know, in the early 2000s, post September 11th, and it fits within a group of laws that was passed across the world that was really a sort of a response to the perception of the threat of terrorism, but has been, you know, that's actually not a law that is appropriate to our time and place. We've seen, as I said, concerns that RICA is used by, as I said, intelligence agencies to monitor people's communications. We've seen one of the concerns with RICA is that it's not a transparent law. So, in fact, we know very little about how it's administered. We know very little about its oversight. But one of the interesting things is that we actually have no information about whether or not RICA is even useful. We know nothing about whether RICA is even useful to fight crime.
Now, Murray, do you believe the more paranoid government becomes, the more the surveillance will intensify?
I think that this is certainly a concern. I mean, we've seen this in governments in other countries, that when there's a sense of paranoia, surveillance becomes more open to abuse. I think in the case of South Africa, we want to say that, in fact, things are not so bad. One of the concerns is that we've had the Minister of State Security just in the last 2 days talking extensively about his concern that quote-unquote certain NGOs are being guided by foreign agents and are there to disrupt government, without naming any names. It really speaks to concerns that that certain NGOs are being viewed as a threat, and we don't really know whether that's a legitimate threat or just a paranoid threat, but it really leads to concerns that these sorts of capabilities will be abused.
Now, Murray, how does this type of surveillance interference in the country's politics and in public life?
Well, I think that we must recognize that we, in order for democracy to function, every individual needs to have a certain amount of transparency, but a certain amount of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has information that they want to keep private. We've spoken quite a lot in terms of how this affects specific individuals, such as journalists or activists or human rights defenders. But actually, this is about ordinary people's privacy. Everyone listening to this conversation has some information that they would be mortified if it were to come out in public on the radio. And that's their right to have that privacy. One of the interesting things about RICA is that it requires all of your telecommunications providers to store all of your data, what we call your metadata, which is a record of who you called, when you called them, when they called you, what messages you sent, information about your browsing traffic and that sort of, internet browsing traffic. All of it's basically a record of every digital interaction that you've had. And RICA requires your companies to store that information for 3 to 5 years. So it means that all of us have our information on MTN servers, on Telkom servers, that really tells the story of your life through your cell phone or through your mobile device for 3 to 5 years. It becomes a real problem. I think that we've seen, for instance, in the United States, the extent to which that system becomes extremely open to abuse. We've seen, for instance, in the name of, for instance, fighting terrorism, we've seen that entire communities, particularly of certain, let's say, minorities, we've seen, for instance, the Muslim American communities in the U.S. have been directly targeted because of it. And it really reveals the extent to which ordinary people who have no particular exciting role, people who have no particular exciting activities, really do need to have the right to protect their privacy. And RICA, because of its different provisions, because of the fact that it requires your company to store that data for 5 years, because it requires you to link your particular identity to your SIM card, and because the safeguards just aren't good enough, it's not a law that does that. It's not a law that does enough to protect our privacy.
Now, Murray, why should we as the normal layman be concerned about this, the fact that we seem to have a case of Big Brother is watching you?
Well, it's an interesting question. I think that in the United States and in Europe, because in the last 2 years we've seen, or 3 years we've seen, Edward Snowden reveal the extent to which, everyone is under communication surveillance. Anyone who uses a communication system, whether it's the internet or your cell phone, is potentially vulnerable to surveillance. And I've spoken now about South African government surveillance, but the truth is that if you're using the internet in South Africa, you probably have your interception monitored even in a remote way by the U.S. or the British government. And those systems by Edward Snowden, I mean, the revelations by Edward Snowden really reveal the extent to which that seems to be true. It means that in the 21st century, it's very difficult for us. It's impossible for you not to be part of the global communication system. We all want to use the internet. We all want to use social media. We all want to use our cell phones. In the 21st century, that is central to our lives. And so it's very important that the digital spaces that we need to use in order to conduct our lives in the 21st century, it's very important that those are safe spaces. One of the difficult things that we have is that because of the revelations of Edward Snowden, there has been massive outcries in Europe and the UK and the US, and there have been real policy changes that have come about as a result of the public taking a stand, lawmakers for finally taking a stand. We've seen a change in some policies, but in South Africa we've been quite slow to that. So I think that now is the moment that we really start to think hard about what we want from a law, what we want in terms of the protection of the right to privacy.
Finally, Murray, what do you say to people who believe that we need this type of surveillance to fight cybercrime?
Well, I think that maybe from a point of departure, we can accept that every state possibly has the right to a certain amount of communication surveillance. You know, I think there are real dangers out there that make us all worried, whether that's serious crime or, as you said, cybercrime. And that government, we invest some responsibility in government to be able to police those things, and they need certain powers to police those things. But it's all about finding a balance. We need a law that we know that the threat of invading someone's privacy seriously is quite significant. And if we give those powers over, we need certain things in response. We need transparency. We need safeguards. We need to make sure that a judge has oversight over these things and that someone has oversight over the judge. And we need to make sure those capabilities are not open to abuse. So those powers which can really invade someone's privacy need to be quite controlled, and there need to be measures in place to make sure that they can't be abused. So it's all about finding that balance. And I think because we haven't had a serious conversation about the concerns about RICO, about the way they can be abused, that balance has never been found.
Murray Hunter, Right to Know. Thank you so much for joining us this morning and enlightening our listeners. You have yourself a wonderful day, sir.
And to you, thank you.
Bye-bye now. That was Murray Hunter talking about the very worrying situation that we have currently. It's not a local problem. It's an international one of surveillance and, you know, the Big Brother society in terms of every single piece of data that you are busy with on the net. Even if you delete something, it's not gone. It's there forever on the net. So, yeah, it's a very worrying situation, and he's talking about South Africa, you know, increasing their bid or increasing their lookout or spying on South African citizens. Worrying situation indeed.